Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, hello. You found it again. The Let's Go Eat Show. Hi. Hi there. I'm Bill Allred. And what you're going to hear here is people who are, they're not beyond the fringe.
No.
They are the fringe.
They are on the fringe.
They're right in the middle of the fringe. We're going to talk to Jay Perry, Cheyenne Gray, and Michael Vo about the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival.
I have to tell you, I felt a little bit bad about it because...
Why?
Because I don't do enough stuff.
What do you mean?
There's all this awesome stuff happening.
You mean you don't... So...
I don't leave the house enough. I'm at home on the couch too much, and I should be out doing stuff like going to the Fringe Festival.
Well, then why don't you?
I feel guilty. Well, because I will, but I still haven't yet, because it's this coming weekend.
So you heard... We'll talk to these people about what the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival is all about. But as you... And I kind of had an idea about what it is, because I knew of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Right.
Now that you've heard about what it is it intriguing to you at all?
Yeah, it's very intriguing.
Well, then why don't you go?
Well, because I didn't know it existed until now. But yeah. I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm
going to
go. Right. I will go.
Yeah. Now, it's one of those kind of things where you sort of you're taking a chance in a way. Mm-hmm. You're going to be seeing a lot of different plays, none of them longer than an hour, apparently.
Right.
And they said, you'll hear about it. But some of them you may not like. You'll go, oh, God, why did I come to this?
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. That's cool. That's a good thing. And it's not expensive. That's what's nice about it, too. You're not making a big financial...
Like $10 or less to go.
You're not making a big financial commitment, and then you're going to see something and go, oh, but... You'll see things that will blow you away, I'm almost positive.
You'll see absolutely stuff you'll never see anywhere else that will blow you away. And even if you go to something and it doesn't connect or it's not great, I still love to go see people at shows who just are giving it everything.
Yeah, even if it's not quite successful.
Even if it doesn't work, these are people, artists, who have put everything they have into their show, and there's beauty in that.
Do you know who Billy Connolly is?
British.
Scottish.
Scottish
comedian.
I sometimes get him,
Or Eddie Izzard.
Now,
Billy Connolly, I think he's Scottish.
Okay.
He played, I think he was on Saved by the Bell or some American TV show for a while, playing a principal or something. But he...
I associate him with the Monty Python guys, but he wasn't in Monty Python.
No.
But he's that same. He's kind of that same age.
He's a comedian. He's quite old now. I think he's almost 80.
Yeah.
But I think he has performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival every year. He just always goes and performs. And he's one of those, you know, you say he's a comedian. He's one of those kind of comedians you don't hear much anymore where they tell stories. And it'll be kind of a long story that's funny as it goes along and then ends up with a big punchline of some sort. You know?
Yeah. And
monologist.
Yeah. And Eddie Izzard got his start at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So did Craig Ferguson, the talk show host.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He had a one-man show that was similar to a Sister Dottie type show where he played the stereotypical Scotsman. and he would get up and be drunk and berate people and wear a kilt and moon the audience.
Because at that time he was drunk.
Yeah, no, it was not a lot of acting, but it launched his career.
Yeah.
And so I've always thought the Edinburgh one was amazing and something, I know you hate the term, on the bucket list to do. Go see that.
Right.
But one thing interesting is there are some of them all over the world. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really either. And now Salt Lake has one. This is the third year. You're going to hear all about it right now. It's some folks talking about the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival on the Let's Go Eat Show. All right, we'll just get this thing underway. Happy to welcome to the Let's Go Eat Show podcast. We have three guests with us, although one of them is going to bug out during the interview because he owes me money. It's Jay Perry. Jay is a local actor and teaches summer youth acting classes up at the U. And are you in any plays right now, Jay?
I have nothing.
No,
there we go. So nothing. I'm not in nothing right now, but I have a show coming up with Plan B Theater Company in the fall. It's Eric Samuelson's Ice Front.
Okay.
And it's a world premiere, and super excited about that show.
And Jay is one of the best actors you'll find around Salt Lake City.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly. You, now, we also have with us Cheyenne Gray and Michael Vaught.
Vo, just like V-O.
Vo?
Yes.
Vo, V-O-U-G-H-T.
That's
but okay,
right.
We'll do Vo. and we're going to be talking about the Salt Lake Fringe Festival, the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival. Now, to me, this is a hard thing to wrap your mind around because it is very expansive. Now, I knew of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which I assume this is modeled after.
Yes, it is.
Although I didn't know, and I was just looking at your material, that the Edinburgh Fringe Festival started in 1947. That's a long time ago. So where do we want to start? Who wants to maybe explain what the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is? And it's still going on every year. What is it?
I can do that, sure. Okay. The Edinburgh was the original Fringe, and what happened was they were having a theater festival in Edinburgh, and a group of theater companies came that were smaller theaters, and they somehow were excluded from the festival.
This isn't fair.
That's right. You got it.
As actors are wont to do.
Yes.
Hey,
what about me?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So they said, okay, well, we're not just going to go home empty. We're going to start our own little teeny festival on the fringe of this bigger theater festival. Thus the name, the Fringe. Yeah. And so they started their little festival, and lo and behold, in a few years, it grew and grew and grew, and the big festival that was Edinburgh died out, and the Fringe went on to become, it's now the largest art festival of any type in the world.
Yeah, like I read a lot of books from entertainers and comedians and stuff, and every one of them talks about going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival with a show, and it launched their career, or it was like their first big showbiz moment of going to this festival.
And I'm sure we'll get to talk about that in a bit, of how that's really kind of the idea behind Fringes, is to get these starts, get these seeds going, get things rolling. And it's true. I mean, the Edinburgh Fringe, they do, I believe it's 40,000 shows in 3 weeks.
What?
That was an accurate 40,000 shows.
40,000.
Wow. Over a million people come into the city during the festival. So it's obviously altered the whole face of that city. So it's beautiful. And so it was so successful that fringes started popping up around the world. Now there's fringes all over the world. Canada has a wonderful circuit of fringes. America has quite a few. Most major cities, or many major cities, have them now. And we just didn't have one here and thought it was time.
Aside from Edinburgh, what would be the next biggest one? So a European one or the Canadian one?
Actually, in Canada, there's some very large ones. But also in America, the Orlando Fringe is huge, the Minneapolis Fringe. There's fringes across our country as well that are quite large.
Now, is this, I have the tendency to think of this as almost all avant-garde kind of performance art. Is it is it other stuff, Cheyenne? Is it other stuff than performance art?
Yeah, absolutely. So it does kind of vary by city, but we have a huge variety of what you're going to find as far as performances go. So we have some that are just purely traditional theater, so plays, comedies, mm-hmm. dramas. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have some that are a little bit more avant-garde than that, and it kind of goes down that path mm-hmm. Because it's definitely a venue for experimental theater. And then we have shows that are musical theater. We have dance shows.
Is there visual arts involved in it?
There is visual art involved. Yeah. We have a gallery at each one of our venues. Mm-hmm. We have solo performances. We have some comedy, some magic.
I think I know in Edinburgh, and I don't know if you guys do it here, they even do some, I mean, like stand-up and monologists, mm-hmm. yes. stand-up comedy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just got an email last night from one of our comedians coming in from Kansas City. He's flying in and is doing a stand-up routine that he does around. So it's quite a mix of entertainment. Anything you could call performing arts happens at a Fringe.
Now, Jay Perry, you're a performer mainly.
Yeah.
An actor. Mm-hmm. Have you performed in the Fringe?
I have not yet performed in a Fringe. I sort of got involved with this because I went to the Fringe the first year, 2 years ago, and was just really, I got really excited about it because I saw all of the new experimental work that was happening. It's a place for people who may not have an opportunity to have, you know, a venue mm-hmm. or an outlet for work that they're trying to put up, or maybe they have a venue and they've been doing other things before, but it might not be a thing that their subscriber base would normally come to see. So it's something that, you know, that gives them an opportunity to do that, or it's a place for new playwrights. So it just all of a sudden there were all of these, you know, great things to go and see for these 2 weeks, and I got really excited about it and just wanted to get involved.
Now, I know one of my sons, my youngest son's teachers at East Hollywood High, Alex, is one of the founders of this Sackerson production company, and they've got their start in the Fringe, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, I think Sackerson is one of the success stories of the Fringe for sure. Mm-hmm. They had a show the first year that was really one of the shows that had a lot of buzz around it, and a lot of people came out for that. The person who wrote that, Morag Shepherd, is I think currently the most produced local playwright right
really?
Now. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that was one of the first shows of hers that I saw, but it was just, it's been cool to see how things have kind of grown.
Sometimes we start talking about things like this Fringe Festival and it excites me. I get excited about it, but I'm also worried about you start talking about what it's like and people will be frightened by it. You know, oh, I don't know, that sounds a little too wild for me. I'm not sure that I don't want to give that impression, or is that what maybe it's not. I mean, you know what I'm asking here.
Fair question. There is quite a range of shows. This is Salt Lake, and if you go to some fringes, you go to the Orlando Fringe, it tends to be pretty wild because you have all of these actors who have spent their life playing Disney characters, and this is their chance to let go, right? Salt Lake doesn't tend to get quite as wild, but we do have a self-rating system where you know what you're going to see before you see. We have plays, you rate them FFF, being the Fringe Festival, of course. So F is family friendly, FF is fairly fringy, and FFF is full-fledged fringe.
You'll see anything. And those are the kinds of things I'm actually interested in. So something that's kind of whacked and off base, and I'll be able to see some of that stuff.
You'll be able to see some of that. And also for those, we have a family fringe where we have shows that are free just for kids too. So it really, you get the whole gamut, which makes it kind of fun.
Now, again, it seems like, it's this big, big thing that we're trying to condense mm-hmm. down here and give people some idea of what the essence of it is. I guess we should say this, the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival is when? Is it actually
starts Friday, July 28th, so it'll run two weekends, going through August 6th.
So two weekends, so that is a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And how many productions are going to be, do you know at this point, how many productions?
Yeah, so right now we have about 45 shows happening. Altogether, it's over 200 performances because everybody does multiple shows. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely jam-packed. We've got seven venues that these are happening across.
Is it possible to see all of them in... It's like the Edinburgh, it obviously would not be. No. possible? So you have to really be pick and choose and take your chances. Is it possible? Is the Salt Lake Fringe Festival small enough at this point you can see all of them?
You would have to be very dedicated to see all 45, but I think
you could
make it happen.
Yeah. And you say it's spread across several venues. Where are they?
So we have two main locations for the festival. One is the Westminster College Jewett Center for the Performing Arts. There are three venues there. Got the Courage Theater, Dumkey Black Box, and the Vive Gore Concert Hall. Across a couple blocks away, we've got the what we call the Fringe Factory. So it's the old DI building down in Sugar House.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we go in that building and we convert that into four theaters of various sizes and setup. So we have four shows going on in there, three over at Westminster, and then we do our Family Fringe at the Sprague Library.
So there's so much going on. And do you provide other amenities for people who come to the Fringe Festival? Is there some food involved and things like that? And beverages.
Yes. So we partner with local businesses. Part of the Fringe is that you partner with the businesses around you and try to bring business to them. They promote you, you promote them. So it becomes a community activity. When you come to a Fringe, and this I'll have to explain this to talk about the businesses.
Yeah.
Sure. And this is a little odd. All the money, every penny of the ticket sales that come in at a Fringe go directly to the artists. We don't take a penny of that. This is to help support artists and get them rolling. We're a nonprofit just to make that happen.
How do you determine who gets what money? Does everybody get the same? You just divide it equally?
Nope.
How does that? Yeah.
Okay. It is the ticket sales. The audience you bring in is
get.
Yeah.
I see. What you bring in is what you keep.
Yep. Yep.
Gotcha.
And so there are people.
That's really cool.
There are people that actually make quite good money at a Fringe, and those that don't do well because their show just doesn't bring the audience out, and that's how art works.
Or they don't have a big enough family.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're a nonprofit. The only income we get from the audience is that when you come to the festival, you need to get a Fringe tattoo. These are temporary tattoos.
Oh, darn it.
Well, we'll give you a real one, though.
Okay.
Okay. And we pay $5 for the Fringe tattoo. And that just helps us cover printing costs and the things we need. And then the shows range from free to the most expensive would be $10. Also with that tattoo, and I'm getting back to your question about the food.
Great.
Also with that tattoo, you can go to many of the stores, restaurants, bars right around where we're at and get discounts. They have special blue fringe drinks and 2-for-1 meals. Mm-hmm. And we partner with the local businesses. That way we're promoting them and they promote us. And it becomes like a community kind of thing.
And my idea was to get a tattoo and like put it on my ass. But that wouldn't be good if I have to go to restaurants and show it to people to get a discount.
Well, we tell people put it anywhere you're comfortable showing.
I'll buy two tattoos.
Well, then he could put it on his ass.
Yeah, I have no problem.
I might get you some freebies.
Yeah. Let me get a little bit of your background now that we've sort of settled in. And Cheyenne Gray, tell us about yourself a little bit and how you got involved in this.
Yeah, so I am from Colorado originally. I moved out to Salt Lake in 2011 to attend Westminster. I graduated in 2015 with my degree in theater.
I thought people only got degrees in skiing from Westminster. That's the story, isn't it?
Yep. So my involvement in the Fringe started in, the spring of 2014. I was taking a class with Michael, and he kind of started talking about his experience when he and his wife Nina, another professor at Westminster, went to the New Orleans Fringe Festival and just had a fantastic time. And they kind of expressed their desire to see something like this happen in Salt Lake. And it just so happened that we kind of had people in that class that really latched onto this idea, myself included, and really
sort
wanted
of your
to run
fellow,
with it.
Your fellow students in your graduating class.
Yeah. So we were really excited about this. And so we decided to kind of spend that next summer of 2014 just doing as much research as we could about Fringe festivals, finding out what it takes to run one with the ultimate goal of starting one of our own. Mm. So that summer we worked tirelessly just setting up all of our business stuff and creating this nonprofit so that we could launch the festival. We went down to the San Diego Fringe Festival just to get a better idea of how it's run, and we really liked how they did things and wanted to model a lot of our a lot of how we run things off of San Diego. Ended up really getting kind of a mentor relationship with them. And then over the next year, over the next school year, we just worked, you know,
I mean, it's a lot of a lot of work to do this.
Yep. I say often that kind of the only reason we ever started it was that we didn't realize that it was impossible. We just did it. So, yeah, over the next year, we did everything we had to do to kind of make it a reality, found our space in Sugar House, kind of started that relationship with Westminster to use those venues. And the first festival happened August 6th through 9th of 2015. Just did one weekend. And
this is the third one then, yeah?
Yeah, so this is year three.
So what was it like between the first and the second year? How, I mean, did you see great improvement?
Yeah, so between the first and the second year, our biggest change was that we switched from one weekend to two weekends. And this is because we realized that word of mouth was absolutely the biggest advertising marketing factor for these shows. I mean, there were artists who did a great job of advertising kind of before the Fringe, but really what happens is people come to the first couple of days of the Fringe, see shows and tell their friends. And in our first year, by the last day, the fourth day of the festival, we had sold out shows kind of going into the night.
And people were saying, why is this over? Why is this over? Exactly. And that's a good feeling.
Yes. Yeah. So in our second year, we decided to expand, do two weekends so that that buzz could really be built and people could get more audience out the second weekend. And it definitely worked well. We grew our audience at about the same rate that we grew the artists. So our average payout stayed about the same from year one to year two. So going into year three, our idea is basically let's keep it the same length, have the same kind of number of shows, same number of days, and just keep increasing that audience so that artists can really see bigger audiences and kind of a bigger return there.
Now, are you a performer? Is that what you did at Westminster?
I have done some performing, but I was mostly on the backstage side, stage managing.
So this is just a natural fit for you in a lot of ways, organizing and that kind of, because usually we actors, we go, I don't know how you guys do that stuff. And, you know, I'll put my prop back where it's supposed to go. You know, that's about as good, well as I could ever do anything.
Yeah, I've always definitely liked both the artistic and administrative sides. So it's been really cool to kind of combine those two.
Now, Michael Vo, a professor at Westminster. Of theater, along with your wife. What's her name?
Nina.
How about a little background? Where are you guys from? What do you do? How did you get to all of this?
Nina and I are from Hawaii originally. That's our home. That's where we met and married. And we decided we were going to do a short mainland adventure and do some graduate school. And went out to first North Carolina to Wake Forest University.
This was going
to
be in theater?
Yes, in theater. Nina is a scenic designer. That's her field. And my background is in directing and playwriting. And so we went first to North Carolina, and then we searched all over the country. Where are we going to go finish? I wanted to finish my doctorate. And University of Utah was the only school that not only accepted and gave both of us a lot of money.
Listen, I know what I went to the graduate school that accepted me.
Yes.
maybe it wasn't my first choice, but it's the one that took me.
Well, and they actually offered us a really good deal. Yeah. And so we came to Utah not having any idea what to expect, coming from Hawaii, the wettest and most liberal state, and then coming to Utah, the driest and fairly conservative. It was a bit of a shock to us.
Do you go home to Hawaii fairly often?
We spend a month or so every year there. Yeah. Yes. just to regenerate. Go ahead.
So you got your doctorate finally.
I got our doctorate. We were getting ready to move back to Hawaii, and we heard about these jobs, a job opening up at Westminster, and it was just a technical director position. But we thought, you know, let's stay here for a year and teach for a year, build some resume, and then go back home. Went up to Westminster, said, "Hey, you can get two for the price of one. Are you crazy enough to accept both of us?" And hire us both at once, and they said sure, which is a pretty
interesting choice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So within a year, we had established ourselves, and a year later, they offered me the chair of the program and Nina a full time position.
How long have you guys been there?
22 years.
So it's worked out okay.
It worked out. Yes, yeah. We loved the students. We, you know, Cheyenne said a moment ago that they didn't realize how impossible this was. And that's my attitude. Why I love working with young people is they go out and do the impossible before they know it can't be done. Mm-hmm. That's just who they are. Yeah. And we see that again and again. And we love working with our students at Westminster.
So let's go to some practical matters here, too, about the Salt Lake Fringe Festival, which, again, is happening when?
July 28th.
July 28th is the first.
It's kickoff goes through August 6th.
That's a Thursday.
So that's a Friday. We do have on Thursday a kickoff party happening on Sugarmont Plaza, which is right in front of our Fringe Factory.
Can anybody come to that?
Absolutely. Everyone should come.
And you should pay for that?
No. It's just a block party happening out there. We're going to have live music. Jay's band is actually performing.
Jay, you have a band?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
I have a family band that Yeah. So my godfather is a drummer.
Right. And I knew that. Yeah,
he used to own Bert's Tiki Lounge, and so he's been drumming for years and years. Mm-hmm. And his son is a great guitar player, and every once in a while we would get together and sort of have jam sessions. Vito and I were in my cousin who plays the guitar, and I were in a band when we were in high school and did some
competition. What's your cousin's name again?
Vito.
Vito.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And so we were in We always got together, and finally last year we really started to take it seriously as far as the three of us playing together. There's a great bass player they've been playing with for a long time, and so
what do you call the band?
We're called the Vitals.
The Vitals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do in the band?
I play guitar and sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And covers or originals?
A little bit of both. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So some covers and we're working on more originals now since we're playing out.
So this is why you got involved in the Fringe Festival, so that they would let your band play.
That's
right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping, and then finally it happened.
We need a place to play. Can we get involved in the Fringe Festival? And that's on the 28th.
That'll be the 27th. So that'll be Thursday. Also that night we do have previews from a bunch of our shows. So artists are going to be performing like 2-minute snippets of their shows, which is a great chance to just come out, see what's available, see if anything catches your eye, and jot down in your program what you want to see.
And that's 27th at what time?
That'll be from 8 to 11 on Sugarmont Plaza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where right there, the old DI.
Mm-hmm,
right in there.
Yeah.
Website where all this is?
Yeah, greatsaltlakefringe.org.
GreatSaltLakeFringe.org.
So really, that's, if you're listening, that's what you should write down.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've forgotten all the times you already said. So I'm going to go there.
If you don't take away anything else, just take away GreatSaltLakeFringe.org. But that's great. I mean, little snippets of some of the performances and things like that.
Yeah, this is actually the first year we're doing that, so we're really excited to see how that works out.
I'm also curious, and anybody can address this, as to how you reach out to performers and how you solicit them, and is there a vetting process of any kind, or you just say I don't care what you do, you can do your performance? Well,
actually, if you're part of the national or international fringe festival organizations, they have certain rules. One of the rules is 100% of ticket sales go to the artists.
Okay.
They
still do that in Edinburgh, even?
Edinburgh's a little different. They're a BYOV, bring your own venue. So you set up your own venues, and they do it in an interesting way. But the most of the international organizations have adapted what the Canadian Fringe started this, and it's become the norm. Mm-hmm. The other one is that you do not vet your shows. That happens with audiences. Either it's first come, first serve, or a lottery. And as the festivals grow, most of them are into lottery because they have many more acts applying than they have space for them.
Salt Lake has not gotten to that point yet.
No, but when we open up our site for them to be able to apply, we typically fill up very quickly to our max. We're capping it at 50 companies. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll grow as time goes on, but right now that's where we're at.
And you might have to go to a lottery or something
like
that.
Yes, and then we'd go to a lottery, but we fill up fairly quickly.
But what?
I want to do one next year.
All right. How do I have to have you?
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have a year to figure it out.
Well, I think you probably have to be a little more specific than that.
I need a banjo.
What do they, so the people who apply, what are they asked to to provide you with?
So the application is fairly simple. They need to have a title for their show. They need to have some sort of web presence, Facebook or a website, so that we know that, you know, they're somewhat serious about
all
this.
Those things.
There is an application
fee.
Oh, I don't have any money.
Yeah, they pay an application fee, again, just as sort of a deposit of good faith that they're planning on participating. But other than that, there's really not a lot of restriction as far as, you know, what the show involves.
Do you ask them what it's about? Or
yeah, we ask for a description. Those change often before the actual festival. Get a lot of edits to those. Mm-hmm. But the other kind of requirement across the board is that they have to be under an hour long. So within those parameters, there is under a lot that can happen.
I'm
curious. Let's say that I applied. And I say, I've done this in a couple of venues. It's just me, one performer, and I run around on stage for 45 minutes covered in cow's blood. And that's here's my website where you can see samples of what I do. And there's some dialogue that I make up as I go along, but I'm naked, covered in cow's blood. Would you accept me into the Fringe Festival?
I think you've just described the next breakout performance.
would you apply next year?
Yeah. So you're excited by this idea. And I mean, that's a very extreme thing, but you must get some extreme performances.
Yes, and we have had a few, not that extreme, but some that it self-adjudicates is what happens. If you came and ran around naked with cow's blood, you'd probably have six people show up to your performance, all of who either knew you or wanted to take pictures and sue you.
Yeah.
All of them would also be naked covered.
Right.
Yeah.
And if from there on it would go downhill quickly after that, and you wouldn't get any more audience.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens. One of our wonderful stories is we had a young man show up the first year who did a one-man show and bombed horribly. I mean, just nobody came after his first show. And so he's performing to an empty house. He had like four or five shows to an empty house. And we felt so bad for him. And then the next year he applied again. And we went, oh no, we can't watch this again because it broke our hearts. Mm-hmm. He's one of the few people that really bombed. The next year, his one-man show, he went home, took the lessons he learned, turned it around, and it was one of the most talked about and hottest shows of the entire festival.
Cool.
That, to us, is what it's all about.
What was his name? Do you remember? Or what was his show about?
The first show was the Scottish show, Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? Yes.
Scottish show.
Yeah.
See, it was that bad.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Yeah, I don't remember his name right now. I'm sorry, but that's what we like to see is artists develop.
You know, it might be useful though too to give people again to help them wrap around this something that each one of you saw last year that you went, oh man, this is really interesting. This is really good. And you enjoyed. And let's see if you each come up with a different one. Who wants to start? Cheyenne's nodding, thinking. And it's, you know, if you leave somebody out, that's okay.
Yeah. I've got one.
Yeah, Jay.
So last year there was, I think it was Company of Cohorts, did and this is a lot of these students are students that are a part of the core fringe group that were sort of seniors and about to go out to graduate schools or into their lives after, you know, finishing at Westminster. And they had a show that was really, it was, you went into a room and you were in the middle of a big party. And the electricity in that performance was just, I mean, it was just palpable because you could tell that these people had spent 4 years together or, you know, some time together. And all of the energy of the Fringe seemed to be in that room because a lot of the kids who helped to start the Fringe were there. And you knew that this was the last time that some of them were going to be together. My niece, Amanda, was one of those students. And it was really cool to see. It was just really cool to see the energy and the love that they had for each other come out.
So the audience was part of this, but it was in the middle of a party.
Yeah. So you walked in and you were in the middle. You would sit in couches and sort of near on the floor in some places and then over next to a table where people would be coming over and getting drinks, you know, as a part of the show. And so you were really immersed. It was like you're on stage in the middle of the in the middle of the show, and the acting was happening all around you. And that was really cool.
Yeah. And did you think of one yet?
Yeah. So One that I really enjoyed last year that kind of surprised me was Round Two by J.C. Stoddard. It was produced by Utah Rep. And it was just an original play that, out of the festival, I think had some of the most interesting just character relationships. It was just about two couples and their relationships, and had really really great naturalistic dialogue and excellent acting. So that was a highlight for me.
Mm-hmm. And then how about you?
Help me with names here, Cheyenne, if you can. I'm not very good at remembering names, but there was a company that came up from New Mexico.
Oh, yes. Studio Playhouse Eliida.
Yes, and their play was called
Studio Playhouse Ellie.
Ellie Ida was the name of the show.
The name of the show.
And,
Ellie and Ida.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. And they, unfortunately, were only here for the first weekend, and they really regretted that choice, I think, because their show was just packed out instantly, and it was this very physical two women comic piece that was some of the finest physical acting I've seen in ages. And we all walked out of there just going, that was stunning, just flabbergasted. Can't wait till next week. You're going to pack it out. And they said, oh, we're not going to be here next week. And
we all go home.
They had to go home. I've heard they've gone on to do fringes around the country and are doing quite well now. And that was their first premiere piece they ever put together. Yeah.
Is that kind of typical? These fringes become kind of a circuit and people go around and do it like a film festival? And
there are people who are kind of fringe gypsies. And they literally travel the world just making enough money at a fringe to get to the next one. Mm-hmm. And they spend a year or two just traveling around the world. Mm.
People at this year's Fringe Festival, do we have a lot of people, a lot of companies from out of state?
We have quite a few. I would say we have about 10 that are coming from out of state. And some of them are Fringe veterans that have done quite a few Fringe festivals. So we get an interesting mix because we also have just a really strong local presence. I always like seeing kind of what these companies can learn from each other.
You said that the piece that you were talking about that you liked was done by Utah Rep.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, that's Mark Fossen, right? Is that Utah Rep?
I think he's been involved with them before. Yeah.
But
yeah, he's worked with them. The producer is Johnny Hebda over at Utah Rep.
And they have a space and what I'm getting at here is that so they may be a fairly established company like that,
right,
will take a piece and do an experimental piece
exactly
that they wouldn't do on their regular season.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yep, and they're sponsoring a couple of shows this year as well that are kind of along that same vein, mm-hmm, of original works that aren't the typical. They usually do new but kind of critically acclaimed pieces. Mm-hmm.
But maybe even workshop. They almost workshop things.
Exactly.
And say, maybe, let's see where this goes, and maybe it'll develop into something that we'll do in a regular season.
A few companies doing that. Wasatch Theater is another one that's producing a show this year that is an original piece, and they normally just do a more traditional theater season.
Geez, we have a lot. We have an amazing number of theater and dance companies.
Truly.
In Salt Lake, it's kind of staggering, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there was I don't know what the exact research was. It just came out, but there was some something recently in the news about that Utah is one of the states that has one of the highest rates of artistic consumption.
Mm-hmm.
In the country,
people spending money on art programs.
Yeah, on the arts.
Actually, the Huffington Post put out an article recently that said Salt Lake City had the second highest rate, next only to New Orleans, of what they called artistic types. We have more artists per capita than any other city in America other than New Orleans. Hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I found that to be fascinating.
Even Vegas?
That's what they said.
it's a Mormon thing.
It is in a way. I mean, the LDS Church,
yes,
right?
I mean, they're all
always
about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and shows and
the road shows.
And
yep.
Do they still do road shows in the Mormon Church?
I don't believe so, but it's sure set a tradition here for theater we all benefit from.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Salt, the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival.
That's right.
And the best place now is: can you buy an all-encompassing ticket or? do you just suggest people pay at the individual?
Yeah, so we have a few options as far as tickets go. We do have single tickets. So you'll get your $5 festival admission, and then you'll buy a ticket to a show for $10. So you can do that, but that's not what we actually recommend for the Fringe.
What do you recommend?
We recommend going with a ticket pack. So we do 3 for $25 or 10 for $70.
Three tickets for $25,
okay, gotcha. 10 tickets for $70. Gotcha. And that's really what we encourage people to do to truly get the festival experience from the Fringe. Because first of all, you're going to save money per show. For $70 to see 10 hours of theater is pretty amazing.
It also, if you've got them, it encourages you to use them.
Exactly. Yep. So you can... we're using a new ticketing system this year that we love, where you can actually buy your pack online and then just go in, and whenever you kind of decide what show you want to see next, you can just reserve it for yourself. So we really encourage those packs, because what usually happens at a Fringe is that if you see 10 shows, maybe four of them you will really like, and you'll think that they're quite good. And there might be two or three that you thought were just terrible. And
then the others were okay.
Yeah. And then, but there's always going to be one or two that just blow your mind. And that is what the Fringe is all about, is finding kind of those diamonds in the rough. It's going to be different for everyone, what really speaks to them. So we really encourage people to get a 3-pack or a 10-pack and just spend a day or two exploring all of these shows.
So you can do that and then reserve your seat all online.
Yeah. So we do online ticketing. So just greatsaltlakefringe.org/tickets should be the first button on our website. So you can reserve that tattoo, pick that up from the box office, and then you can do all of your own ticketing online.
And it's Salt Lake all spelled out.
Yes. Right?
Great Salt Lake Fringe.org. And then one other aspect of this that we have neglected to mention is that there are awards given, right?
There are.
Yeah, talk about that a little.
So most of our awards are audience voting. So they vote for different categories, student production, best of each kind of rating category. So F. One person show, best ensemble. So we have kind of these categories that people can go, and it'll be all online this year that people can go and vote. And then we have a Fringe pick, where the Fringe board comes together and kind of picks a standout. We have critics pick, where we kind of aggregate reviews of shows and see which one stood out from there. We have a Miss Congeniality award, which is just the highest attendance.
It's not a person.
For a show that gets the highest attendance.
Maybe the one that has the highest attendance isn't necessarily the best one. But they
got people out there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So awards are definitely a big part of the Fringe culture, especially for these artists that do Fringe circuit and will travel. Because when you arrive in a new city, it's hard to convince people that this is worth your time. So using those awards and kind of reviews from other Fringes is a great way for them to kind of put themselves out there. This is highly recommended.
And when you go to a Fringe, like you had mentioned earlier, it's a little difficult to go, oh my gosh, there's 50 different shows for me to see, which one do I want? But if it says this show won the best of Fringe in DC and Toronto and Orlando, right, you go, oh, this must be something. It really helps the artists who travel with their shows.
So if you go to the website, greatsaltlakefringe.org, there's a listing of all the plays. Brief descriptions of what they are, and maybe some of those notices. Oh, these people come from New Mexico, and they've won awards there and so forth. I haven't been a part of this before, but I'll definitely be around to attend it this year.
Awesome.
You have time to make it up.
Great. It sounds great. It's the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival. There's an opening party on the 27th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really soon, next week. And then it starts the next day, the 28th.
That's right.
And that weekend, and then the first weekend in August, I guess, it is, right? Yeah. So, really, thanks a lot for coming by.
Which night are you performing your Naked Pig Blood running show?
No, that's next year.
Next year's.
2018.
And it's cow's blood. It's not pig's blood.
Well, I haven't seen the show yet.
Listen, that's Trafe. I don't do that. Thanks a lot, you guys. And I really applaud your, you know, your efforts to do this. It's a big undertaking, but it's really terrific.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. We've been talking to Jay Perry, Cheyenne Gray, and Michael Vo about the Great Salt Lake Fringe Festival. It's greatsaltlakefringe.org. I think that's it, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. I'm Bill Allred. That's the Let's Go Eat Show. If you're pouring drinks, always make mine a double.
Broadway Media Podcast Network.